The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome, everybody. It's another week of Need to Know on TKR or wherever you get your Tony Curry Radio podcast, Apple platforms, amongst other places. And, of course, we show up all kinds of random areas that I always am surprised about. So however you're listening or watching today, we are glad to have you. It is the final program on Need to Know of 2025. As we come to you this morning, it is the 29th of the month, just two more days, and then 2026 will roll around. Officially, year 250 of the great country that we all are affiliated with, citizens of, and proud to be on board the United States of America. I want to talk a little bit about 2025 today, not completely a reflection of the year that was, but hit some of the highlights. These are the things we've talked about over the year, but I think a lot of the content, you move on to the next thing, and man, in 2025, moving on to the next thing is essential because there's always a next thing. Because this leader that we have of our country now is the most dynamic, most involved, most, you know, audacious president that we could have ever have imagined. And whether you like Donald Trump personally or not, a lot of people don't. I mean, I'll admit there are things he does that rub me the wrong way. But from a standpoint of leadership and what he's gotten done in this past year, and in the face of so much adversity, we don't need to hearken back to 2024 and a guy that was they're trying to throw in jail. They tried to assassinate him twice. This is a guy that's been the Energizer Bunny who's never stopped. And whether you like his style or not, or are a Democrat, Republican, independent, whatever you are, if you do not have the intellectual capacity or the fairness capacity to recognize what this guy has done in just a less than a year, remember, inaugurated last year on January 20th, so we're just now coming up on his 12th month to complete his first year in office in his second term. Remember, he's only the second president in United States history that served two terms and not consecutive ones. The first being Grover Cleveland back in the 1880s, the governor of New York elected president, then was really outspent and beaten as an incumbent by a most unlikely president in Harrison before regaining the White House in the rematch when he was the incumbent. Cleveland came back and beat him in the next election, and Trump repeated that feat by defeating Kamala Harris, who was supposed to be Joe Biden, who allegedly beat him in 2020, but we know now that a lot of those results in the COVID year tainted with emergency procedures and very creative counting of ballots and amazing twists and turns, more and more coming out with the Trump administration and Department of Justice now on the situation there. And I want to start off by saying it was just one year ago that we were watching in horror as the last remnants of the thousands and thousands, and by some accounts, anywhere from 12 to 21 million people came into this country across our wide open southern border during the 4-year disaster that is known as the Biden administration. If you watch the show regularly, you know that I don't consider that the Biden administration. I consider that Obama 3, because Biden was the puppet that was put into play in the office, had all the trappings, Air Force One, constant weekend trips to places to rest up, fall asleep in chairs on the beach that he was not even capable of setting up, barely a lot of times even able to communicate effectively unless they shot him up with some kind of stimulant to get him to get through a brief statement, had to have cards to direct all of his movements of where to go on stage, which chair to sit in, who to recognize if he did take a question from the press. It was a tightly controlled pseudo-presidency, certainly with a person that didn't have the mental capacity or the physical ability. It's come to light that he's got serious prostate cancer problems. And again, just from a humanity standpoint, you feel for the guy, but he was basically, again, just a dancing marionette, not really the president. The decisions were being made by staff, all who were graduates from the Barack Obama administrations, all of his key cabinet officials. He didn't make the appointments. He was just the puppet in charge that wasn't in charge of anything, really. And that's what we suffered through. But through all of that, we saw this invasion of our country from people from over 100 countries around the globe, including some of our arch enemies from the Middle East and countries that are adversarial, like Somalia. Did you ever see the movie Black Hawk Down? You know what I'm talking about there. How is it that we have an entire Somalian population all in the same area of Minnesota that has become its own voting bloc, electing its own representatives, has a member of Congress, because so many Somalians were resettled here? It was all part of a plan. This was not an inept administration that allowed this. This was intentional. These people poured into our country, did not go through proper procedure, were basically rubber stamped and welcomed on in, and have dispersed all corners of the globe, including many people with long criminal histories, gang affiliation, cartel ties, all of the different nefarious groups that have posed a tremendous danger to American lives and livelihoods. And all of this went on uninterrupted for 4 years intentionally, and you knew it wasn't bedraggled immigrants coming into the country seeking asylum. These were people that arrived in new clothes, carrying phones that had been provided, that had cards with instructions on what to say and what to ask for, and they went through the motion that this was some kind of natural process when it was just choreographed to be an invasion of the country. And these people were not coming here like immigrants in past years to the United States to try to assimilate with a dream of becoming Americans and being involved in the American dream. These were people that came here for the handouts and the promises of free stuff, education for their children, housing, food, employment for those who worked. Although the Somalians, who I just mentioned, who did not come dragging across the border, they were flown here methodically by the State Department over the course of 4 administrations, a couple of them Republican. The State Department had their own agenda to import as many people from some of the most godforsaken countries in the world. We've got giant Haitian population in this country, another cesspool of a nation that is just the end of the earth in terms of the people and their education and their qualifications to contribute to society. The Somalians in the same boat. And I'm sure most of you are aware of the burgeoning scandal in Minnesota where the Somalians not only accepted taxpayer money for all of their needs, most of them are not high school graduates, 74% unemployed. These are people just living off your tax dollars, and that wasn't enough for them. They organized some of the most sophisticated scams to literally steal billions of dollars from the state of Minnesota, who had set up all kinds of emergency programs for healthcare for children, care specifically for autistic children, different clinics and healthcare facilities for the citizens of Minnesota. And these people, and even out-of-state scammers, saw how easy it was to create all these false entities to qualify for this relief and aid from the state. And they've exploited that to the tune of now estimates of $7 or $8 billion with a B dollars. There are investigations ongoing of the Somalian population spending lavishly on lakefront houses, giant estates, these international trips where they lived in luxury at resorts for months at a time. Just complete exploitation of the system here, because we're too busy to check and verify in some of these situations in these blue states. And they took full advantage of it, because the greatest thing, the most horrible fate you can imagine for Governor Tim Walz, the vice presidential candidate, probably the worst ticket in the history of the United States, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, Coach Walz. Remember, he was a high school football coach. Yeah, sure he was. He was a social studies teacher in a school in Nebraska that happened to win a state championship in football. He was a, quote, linebackers coach on that staff. He was not anybody that was in any kind of capacity to get credit for winning a state championship. He was the guy they paid $75 extra a week to have a few more bodies on the field with a whistle and to cast him as some, you know, great football mind. Remember, he played a Madden game of football with AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. People that look at the video say that the controllers were not even plugged in. And at the end, the football coach, Tim Walz, who is now the hoodwinked governor of Minnesota, who allowed his state to be plucked for millions of dollars, billions of dollars, said, oh, AOC was tough to beat. She runs a mean pick six. If you know anything about football, you don't run a pick six. You run a pick six back for a touchdown. That's what a pick is, an interception. And a six is a touchdown on an interception return. That is not an offensive strategy. That's not something any football coach would say. And that is appropriate, because this guy is the furthest thing from any kind of coach. He's almost a girly man. This whole image of males being toxic and this guy is the poster child for the wimpy man, and that's who they chose to run for vice president, and got what they deserved, blasted by Donald Trump, who they had tried to assassinate, tried to put in jail, had done everything possible to throw up every obstruction, raided his home, went through his wife's personal items, looking for evidence that he possessed documents that he wasn't allowed to have. Although as a former president, he is by constitutional authority allowed to have documents post-presidency. The whole thing was a giant scam, trying to take him down. It failed. He won the White House spectacularly. And if you remember, during the invasion of the migrants coming into this country and spreading out, trying to establish their criminal enterprises, the Tren de Aragua gang from Venezuela, the MS-13s, who are a serious group of just complete cutthroat killers, murderers, scammers, robbers, everything you could possibly imagine. And all the drug cartels in Mexico doing business freely over our border, coming and going as they pleased. It never was stopped by the Biden administration. And their excuse, if they could get Joe to get the words out, well, I'm waiting. Congress has to act for us to do anything about this. Well, what did we see from Donald Trump? He hit the ground running the day he was inaugurated. He signed 80 some odd executive orders in the first 10 hours of his administration, almost all of them on live TV. He answered every question from every reporter over the first few days of his administration, immediately flew to North Carolina, where Biden never set foot. They had had the torrential, awful situation with the aberrant hurricane that came and basically washed away all of the soil on the mountainsides and just completely devastated Western North Carolina, over 60 souls lost, billions of dollars in property damage, and FEMA was not even responding at the time in the Biden administration because the idiot Mayorkas, who was in charge of Homeland Security, declared that that his department had spent too much money on all this immigration program and had no money in FEMA available to help the people of Carolina. Trump went on a third day of his presidency to the damage, consoled people, made sure that that aid got to them that they desperately needed. And today, Western Carolina is rebuilt and revitalized. He then got on the Air Force One and flew across the country to Los Angeles, which had been ravaged by the terrible fires just a few weeks before, and met with local officials and citizens. Of course, California politics never changes. A lot of those people still are not back in their home. The permit process, all of this social engineering that Gavin Newsom and people in corrupt California are trying to rot. But anyway, Trump never, ever has a president started with such zest and determination to tackle problems. And the border was the major one where within 3 weeks of him taking the presidency, we had deployed the military to the border. We had completely shut down all forms of illegal entry into this country, and it remains airtight. We have no illegals coming across the border now. The Trump administration grandly triumphed and announced that people that were in this country that don't belong, particularly the criminal element, that was the first target, that they would be arrested, processed, and deported. And that has been an ongoing process with over 2 million people being ejected from this country, despite all of this hostile protest by so many people that are misguided and brainwashed by the Trump delusion crowd of somehow indicating that these are peace-loving citizens who are being abused. And next, Americans, the women on The View said, we don't agree with this president, so I'm living in fear because they're going to come and take me away and deport me to some other godforsaken place. It is not American citizens. It is people that are in the country illegally. And the Constitution is pretty much the ultimate authority. If you haven't entered the country legally and been processed and gone through the steps of becoming a citizen or have permission to be here, you are violating the law. The law is not multiple choice. I've said it many times on the show. If you're violating the law, you are officially a criminal. If you don't like the laws in this country, instead of throwing things and protesting and ramming cars of ICE agents who are just law enforcement officers doing their job, get organized, get your stuff together. I could have used a better word there, but the bottom line is if you don't like the laws, you can get them changed if you win elections. The American people spoke loud and clear a year ago, November, and swept Donald Trump back into office. And he has sealed the borders and ended this nightmare of people just pouring into this country, intentionally induced to do so, because Americans are never going to surrender their civil liberties, are never going to agree to socialism and this government runs everything kind of attitude by the left. And so they had to import their own citizens from all corners of the globe, many who are just here with their hand out, and basically by their loyalty, grease the skids to get them to be voters through driver's license issuance, through illegal assignment of social security numbers. This administration from 2020 to 2024, just an absolute nightmare. And thank God we've got a leader in the White House now that's put a stop to all of this nonsense. In the meantime, now, since they have no policy, they have no way to check the progress of this president, and I could go on for hours talking about the accomplishments. Now they're talking about the economy, and somehow they have convince people to respond in polls. You keep seeing the numbers that 65% of Americans are dissatisfied with Trump's job on the economy. Well, the moves that this president has made are going to pay off unbelievably in this next calendar year. We've already seen gas prices, energy prices fall to huge lower levels, massive less than they did during the Biden years / Obama years. This has been great progress. Also, all of the screaming and crying about tariffs and how it was going to create inflation, recession, and even another Great Depression, false news, fake news, any expert, any economist, anybody, any talking head who has said that America is going to be a economic bust because of these policies is completely wrong. Manufacturing is coming back. Prosperity is coming back. This president has been the ultimate leader. Again, you don't have to like his style, but he's a businessman, and government is the biggest business on earth, the most successful business on earth. And what qualification does a, quote, politician have to run a multi-trillion-dollar operation? They have none whatsoever. The only qualification they have is how to scam the system and walk away from government service, whether they're an elected official or a bureaucrat occupying an office that they don't even go to, but still collect checks. And this money is regenerated and reapportioned and sent out to all of these different directions, knowing that it's going to come back, because that money being recycled and put into the hands of supporters and corporations that are on board are going to ensure that these people in both parties who are participating in this are going to continue to be elected, because they're going to be able to outspend any opponent. And until, as long as they can kind of stay below the turbulence line and not be implicated for anything specific, they're not going to give up the greatest gig in the world. These people walk in, people of average means, and they walk out multimillionaires. And that should bother every single American, that it's not public service anymore. It's self-service 100%. We need a complete overhaul of the system. We need term limits. We need new directions. We need bold leadership. And Donald Trump has started that process in this term with three more years to go. There is no telling how this country is going to look when we reach the 2028 election. The 2026 midterms are beginning, will come up this November. It's critical for Trump to be able to hold on to Congress so he can continue to initiate policies that advance this country. And that is the big highlight of 2025 and gives us so much to look forward to in 2026. with a great deal of optimism. I'm going to cut it a little shorter today than normal. I started off the day doing 4 hours on the local news talk station, 6 to 10 morning show. So I've been talking about our country and my great gratitude that we're back on track and everything is moving in the right direction. You're going to see massive benefit from the big, beautiful bill that was passed by Congress this past summer. It's going to keep your taxes from increasing at the highest rate that they ever have been. All of the policies of no taxes, no income tax on tips and Social Security will be kicking in. And it's going to be a great time with jobs coming back, cities revived, manufacturing coming back. The tariffs are leading all these countries from all over the world to build facilities in America to bypass the tariffs. But that means tremendous benefits for our country. The corporate tax rate has been slashed in the big, beautiful bill, which is going to inspire more entrepreneurs to build businesses, provide tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of high-paying jobs for America. The good times are ready to roll again as America gets ready to celebrate its 250th birthday. So that's what you need to know. I can't wait to come to you with the first show of 2026 on Need to Know, and we'll talk about my expectations for exactly what we're going to see in this new calendar year. I've already shared with you, we're hosting the World Cup. I'm not very excited about that. It's soccer, and I don't like soccer, but that's another story for another day. Anyway, Happy New Year, everybody. I hope your Christmas season was unbelievably joyous and merry in every way. I got to spend it with my grandkids. It's time that I would never trade for anything else. It's a great gig being a grandpa. And my time with King and Aria out in Las Vegas, my son's family, my two grandchildren, absolutely blessed and so appreciative to have had that opportunity, albeit extremely brief. So that's how we'll end it today on that high note. I can't wait to join you again next Monday right here on our program Need to Know on TKR and tell you about a 2026 that is going to be so exciting and so amazing for this country and its citizens. Hang on, folks. The good stuff's coming. It's on the way. It is on the tracks, and we just need to get ready because it's going to be a year to remember in this country. I promise you that. With that, we'll sign off for this week. We'll see you next week. God bless you all. Have a safe and very happy new year, and enjoy the Wednesday and Thursday college football playoffs. Catch us for all of our coverage on our great shows, both on ABC 3340, The Starting Lineup, and on the Jocks Networks, JOX in Birmingham, 94.5, Game Time, and the morning after, Saturday and Sunday mornings, respectively. Have a great week, everybody. Happy New Year.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.